Blog Talk Radio.
This is Lori Smith. This is One Child Abuse Survivor to Another Restoration. Glad to be here. I missed my show last week. Sorry about that. I totally just basically was actually just so tired. I sort of forgot to do it. Sorry about that. I've been exhausted actually lately. But I'm glad to be here tonight. We're going to just continue looking at the topic of boundaries and healthy boundaries and what that looks like for especially dealing with survivors of abuse, right? So we're working on finishing up that article actually from HAVOCA, H-A-V-O-C-A, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, HAVOCA.org. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. But I just appreciate everybody who's taken the time to tune into my shows. And, you know, I don't know who you are, but I really appreciate it. And hopefully you're getting something out of it. You know, I'm just a survivor of multiple forms of child abuse and on my healing journey for a long time now, and coming up this year, November, I'll have been on Blog Talk Radio doing these shows since 2009, so for 10 years. that's like a long time. I was a little bit younger back in the day. I'm getting old now. But yeah, it's been a long haul, a long journey, and I just appreciate everybody who's been here with me on this journey along, you know, this path. And like I said, I hope that you're getting something out of these shows. I'm still working on some things, you know. I probably will always be working on some things to try to help to heal, you know, and to not stay stuck and to move forward and, you know, just grow as an individual. You know, my growth was stunted because of the abuse that I suffered as a child. And, you know, just the whole gamut, the child sexual abuse and then being barren as a, you know, a young woman, not able to have children. And then my husband was terminally ill and I've just had so many things, you know, kind of come against me. It always sort of stunts my growth, you know, as a person on the planet. So I'm always working on it and working on not allowing the circumstances in my life to dictate what kind of a person I am and how I'm going to relate to the world and how I'm going to relate to people and even how I'm going to treat myself or treat other people. And so that's why I'm always looking at these issues and you know, trying to learn and grow as a mature adult, you know. So it's been a long haul, that's for sure. And I know it is hard. It's hard work for anybody, and especially if you're suffering from, you know, the wounds and the trauma from abuse and any type of abuse, really. So it is hurdles, you know, lots of hurdles that we have to overcome. And but, you know, if we keep working at it, which is what I do, little bits, bit by bit, piece by piece, keep working at it, you know, make a little bit of progress here and there, I can kind of look back and say, wow, you know, I'm in such a better place than I ever have been, you know, and it does take time and it doesn't happen overnight. It just doesn't happen overnight like we want it to, you know, snap our fingers and just be healed and everything's great, right? Well, that would be living in a dream, you know, in a dream world, really. It doesn't exist, right? So we have to do the work, and that's what I'm trying to continue to stay on my healing journey so I can keep working through this stuff. So that's what we're doing. I'm going to finish up this article here, and then we'll move on to something else. And that's HAVOCA, H-A-V-O-C-A, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse. I'll just bring up the page where we're reading from. You can go back and listen to the last show. I don't want to repeat that, so we're going to pick up where we left off. And that would be about setting boundaries. And it's towards the end of the article. So if you go to HAVOCA, H-A-V-O-C-A.org, and you go to their Information for Survivors tab, just click on that, and it'll take you to all the different categories. And you go to Personal Boundaries, and that's where we're at. And it's under the help sheet, sort of towards the bottom, about setting boundaries. So that's where we're at tonight. So if you're a survivor of abuse, and you're listening, and you're not sure if you're safe enough to be listening, or you know if this might trigger you, this information or anything like this from any type of show like this, you want to know if you're safe enough, and you can get that information lots of places, like I say on all my shows. ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse and Morris Center Program, they have a Survivor to Thriver workbook, and that's a great workbook, and you can get that information there. It's the first one of the first chapters anyway. I think it's the first one. It's called Safety First. You can read that, and that teaches you how to know whether or not you're safe enough to be listening to something like this or not, because you don't want to be triggered and then have a horrible night and go backward in your healing journey, you know. So if you're just starting out on your healing journey, you want to make sure that you are safe enough, and if not, just turn the show off and get that information, and you know, you can decide at that point, you know, whether you want to be listening to stuff like this or not. And if you're anybody else, you have to listen at your own discretion, because I'm talking about abuse and it's very sensitive topic, and it can tend to bother people. So you have to make that decision for yourself. Ultimately, it's your responsibility. So we're going to get right into this. This is about setting boundaries. It says, setting boundaries means that you are taking responsibility, being adult, and demanding equality and respect in a relationship. So that's difficult for a survivor of abuse, right? Especially to demand equality and respect in a relationship. I mean, you know, people who have been abused in any type of relationship, really, that's generally been the issue. You know, that's what, you know, there's no respect, there's no equality. You know, abuse is horrible. And so setting these boundaries, you know, we take responsibility. We're the adult, you know. We need to demand equality and respect in a relationship, any type of relationship, whether it's a working relationship or a friendship, you know, or a boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever, partners, husband, wife, whatever it is, you know, we all need to realize that we do have the right to be treated equally, and we do have the right to expect that someone's going to respect our needs, really, and treat us with dignity, you know. But these things are very difficult for survivors of abuse, because I mean, I was abused as a child, so I wasn't allowed to stand up for myself, and I wasn't allowed to just say what I needed. If I said I needed anything, I'd be abused, see, because I was not allowed to need anything. So my needs were definitely not taken care of. And as an adult, I have a little bit of difficulty getting my needs met, because I don't know if it's not so much that I feel like I don't deserve to have my needs met, because I know that I do. It's not that. It's more of an issue of like, I guess I don't want to make waves, you know. So I tend to let things go. And then people are like, well, you still haven't done anything about that. And I'm like, well, no, because I don't want to make waves, you know. I don't want to cause problems, because that's how it was when I was growing up. If I said anything, or if I needed anything, or my needs weren't being met, then it was always it was an issue. See, that's just the way it was for all of my siblings and myself. So, you know, it is difficult. Setting boundaries, they said, reflects your right to say no to those things that aren't right for you. Setting boundaries is about learning to take care of yourself, no matter what happens, where you go, or who you are with. Isn't that the truth? That's what we should all be doing, right? We should all be saying no to those things that aren't right for us, you know? And we should be able to learn, you know, how to take care of ourselves, get that information if we don't know, which is that's kind of what I'm doing, and know that we have the right, you know, to that care. Boundaries emerge as we learn to value, trust, and listen to yourself, they said. And that's a big one, especially valuing and trust, you know. Trust is a huge issue for survivors of abuse, and so is value. You know, I had to deal with a lot of that when I first started my healing journey. I had to do a lot of positive self-affirmations. And I would literally do the work on the Blog Talk Radio shows, and then I would take that information with me throughout the day or in the morning when I woke up or whatever, and literally go through and do these self-affirmations and look in the mirror and say, I am worth it. I do count. I do matter. And, you know, I did not deserve to be abused. And I'm a good person, and I try really hard to treat people right. And, you know, stuff like that, because survivors of abuse can be so down on themselves and so hard on themselves that they don't value their own lives. They don't value themselves a lot of times as a person, you know. And trust. Trust is a huge problem for survivors of abuse. I didn't trust anybody at all when I was growing up, and I didn't, and even into my 20s and even 30s, you know. I'm learning to trust, and I've learned how to trust. But it was a job to learn to just even to be able to trust myself. I knew that I couldn't trust other people, especially those around me in an abusive environment, but I didn't really even trust my own decision-making processes because they would get me into a lot of trouble. I didn't always make the best choices for myself, especially as a young teen, or even all the way through my teen years into my 20s, and even into my 30s, didn't always make the best decisions for myself. And I still don't. I still do things that, you know, I'm kind of like, wow, I guess I should have thought that one through first, you know, because I'm always doing things on my own because I've never had any help. I don't have like a parent or any parent or any aunt or uncle or grandma or cousin or sibling, or I don't have anybody at all that I can turn to for advice in any matter whatsoever. I can't. I have nobody. You know what I mean? I'm on my own. So I have to learn the hard way. It's usually by falling. I usually screw things up pretty bad, and then I'm like, oh, wow, that was terrible. Okay. Then I have to scramble to fix it. And that's my life. My life is always like that. It's a roller coaster. It's like, okay. But I'm used to it. I've never had any help. I never had any help when I was growing up. You know, I never had any help. Just my friends. You know, when I had some good friends throughout my life, actually. These young people that I was growing up around. And thankfully, I had some good friends. And their parents were somewhat helpful. But, you know, you just can't be calling people, you know, out of the blue, hi there, I haven't talked to you for 20 years, but I need to ask you some advice. So it's tough, you know, and I don't like to burden my friends that I have today with certain things, you know. I've got some close friends that, seriously, they don't need to be burdened with that kind of baggage, you know what I'm saying? It's a difficult road, you know, but we have to learn to get our needs met. So we have to learn to make these right decisions for ourselves, you know, say no to those things that aren't right for us, which that's what they said there. Learn how to take care of ourselves no matter what happens, wherever we go and whoever we're with. Learn how to value ourselves, trust ourselves, listen to ourselves, right? These are so important. And it's kind of trial and error for me. And then I learn from my mistakes usually. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes it takes me a long time to learn something. I mean, I'll do the same thing over and over and over again. And then finally start to realize that's a pattern. It's like, wow, that's a pattern that's not really helping me out. So I guess maybe I need to change that. It's difficult. Absolutely. Abused people are definitely coming from behind, you know, the eight ball. That's what I like to call it. Don't have the information. And it's like that's a hard place to come from, you know. Boundaries emerge from belief that what you want, need, like, and dislike is important. So that's so true. You know, boundaries emerge from a belief that what you want, need, like, and dislike is important. This is important because I know when I briefly looked at this a couple weeks ago, and then I didn't do the show last week, which I'm sorry about. Because I was looking at this and I thought, oh yeah, like what you want, need, like, and dislike is important. As an adult, we know this to be true. I mean, I can say, well, you know, I need this or I like that. But coming from being abused as a child and not being allowed to express what we want, need, like, dislike, you get into a pattern of, well, my wants aren't important. My needs aren't important. What I like and dislike is not important. Because that's what I was told by my mother mainly, who was my main abuser. Because I usually went to her for if I had any needs. Because my dad was pretty useless. He was basically just always trying to kill himself. So I kind of stayed away from him. He was either talking about killing us or killing himself. He was very psychologically a messed up man. Very abusive, and I just stayed away from him. But my mom, you know, she gave us chocolate chip cookies and, you know, stuff like that. She was not safe to be around. She was my main abuser. But if I needed something, I figured, well, I'd go to her because I'm more apt to get it from her. That could be school supplies, you know, whatever. This kind of stuff. You know, if I needed something, she was like, oh, I don't care what you need. You know, get away from me. Just push me away or, you know, threaten to hit me or threaten to beat me up if I didn't get out of the house, this kind of stuff. So my needs, you know, unless I really needed something, I didn't bother my mom. Because it was just going to be problems. And the same with like and dislike, you know. I was not allowed to express whether I like something or dislike something, because the minute I said I like something or that I didn't like something, that would cause an explosive problem with my mother, because she didn't want to hear what we liked and disliked, because my mom was very toxic, very angry woman. So she was like not going to listen to her children talking about what they liked and what they didn't like. She was like, I don't care what you like and what you don't like. This is what you're getting. If you don't like it, then I'm going to give you, you know, a good beating. It's like, I'll knock you into tomorrow. That's what she used to say. So, you know, it's kind of like you grow up with that, that becomes your life, and all of a sudden your wants, needs, likes, and dislikes are not important. For me, I don't have too many problems with that as an adult, on my own, you know, what I want, need, like, dislike. I know that that's all important stuff, you know, I don't have a problem with that, but some people would, and some people I'm sure do. Boundaries emerge from deep decisions, they said, about what you believe you deserve and don't deserve. And I don't know, yeah, I mean, what we deserve and don't deserve. You know, I mean, my mom especially used to tell me that I did not deserve to be alive. That's what she would tell me. She'd be like, you don't deserve to even be alive. You should be dead with the other stillborn babies, because my mom had these two babies, actually there's three that didn't make it. They were stillborn. And so they went full term, but they were dead, right? That's almost what happened to me. They had to take me out by C-section. So my sister and myself were born very sick. We were the last two children that actually made it. Three didn't make it. So she used to tell me that I didn't deserve to even live, to be alive. I should just be dead with the other stillborn babies, right? So I grew up hearing this, and I really didn't feel like I deserved to be alive for a long time. And I didn't want to be alive. So I didn't really think that I deserved anything. I don't think, I'm not one of these people that believes that I have all of these. In other words, I'm not an overly privileged type of person that thinks that I should just have every privilege going and that I deserve every privilege going. I'm just a person on the planet trying to make it, and I'm trying to not repeat what my parents did. Trying to not learn from, you know, what to take on anything that they taught me, you know, get rid of all of their toxic teaching that I learned growing up, trying to be a good person, help people out, and also be good to myself. Basically, that's my goal. I'm not out there to try to be a people pleaser. I do enjoy meeting nice people and good people. I love good people because there's so few and far between. I mean, really good people that really would do nothing to hurt you and would do everything to help you if they could. That's a good person. You know, there's not very many people out there like that. So when I meet people like that, I'm always very, very impressed because I'm like, oh, you're just a blessing in the world, you know. And I try to emulate myself after people like that. I don't think that I deserve or, you know, don't deserve any more than the next guy, you know. I don't think that I should be over, you know, deserving of anything or under deserving, you know. I'm just an average person just trying to make it. And, you know, I don't know whether I deserve something or I don't deserve it, you know. I always appreciate people being kind to me because, you know, I grew up in a very unkind environment and where there was no kindness, you know. And so I appreciate kindness. I know when I was young, I was like 12, 13 years old, and I met this girl on the block. She moved on the block, and her parents were the first adults that were ever really kind to me. But I don't mean just like, you know, not hitting me or whatever. They actually treated me like a real person, and it was bizarre because I had never been treated like that by anybody. And I was like, wow, like, that's really awesome. It really made me feel good. And I thought, how nice, you know, they don't have to do that. And they just kind of took me in under their wing, you know, with their daughter and let me stay at their house when I needed to. They did an intervention for me with my mom. You know, they wanted to get the cops involved and make it, you know, get this whole thing, get me removed from the home. And I just told them I'd run away. If I end up in foster care, I'll just run away, right, because I'm not going to foster care. And they were, you know, so they were good. They actually, what they did was any time that I needed to stay with them and get away from my mom for a while, they'd let me stay with them, which was really, really cool. And they were nice people. And I love kind people. I absolutely just so appreciate kind people. And I meet kind people today, you know, in my life, in my adult life today, that I sit there and I think, wow, you know, really, I don't know if I'm so deserving of anything, but it's just that, you know, some people are just such a blessing, you know. I don't know if I deserve it or not. It doesn't really matter. So that doesn't really seem to have a lot of place in my life as far as being deserving of anything. I know that I have the right to, you know, health care, especially in Canada, because health care, you know, we pay for it with our taxes. So you go, if something happens to you, you just go to the hospital and you don't have to pay for it, right? You've already paid for it with your taxes. So I have the right to, you know, get my needs met just like everybody else. I don't feel like I'm one of these people that should have more of a right, more privilege, you know, more deserving of anything. I don't think so. You know, I'm not the nicest person on the planet, and I certainly have done my share of hurting people in the past, and, you know, I don't think I deserve any more or any less than anybody else. I'm just trying to make it and trying to help people as I go and when I can, you know, and try to not hurt people. Like, that's a big issue, right? It's so easy to do. It's hard to help people. That's the big issue. And so when you find somebody who's helpful and loving and kind and caring, and I mean, it's like they stand out, right? Because it's like, wow, you know, you're awesome. I love nice people. So, yeah, I mean, I've been so blessed in my adult life, coming from this horrible situation of being abused to, you know, in my adult life to know so many wonderful people. And all the way through, you know, even, you know, my friends when I was growing up were very helpful to me. Some of their parents were, you know, I've had people help me out along the way, all the way through. It wasn't necessarily my family, but it was a lot of other people. And they basically kind of instilled in me that, you know, I'm a person, I have rights, you know, and I need to get my needs met. And so they were very helpful to me to teach me that kind of stuff, you know. So I don't have too many problems with that. And so, but I know that there are people that do, you know. My dad was abused as a child. Well, both of my parents were. And my dad used to think that he was not deserving of love or anything like that. But he was very screwed up, like psychologically and mentally and suicidal. And it was just an absolute mess, you know. But he was one of those types that would be like, well, I don't deserve anything. And, you know, kind of that sort of mentality of, well, you know, I'm sure that my sons hate me. You know, and I'd be like, they don't hate you, Dad. You know, they don't hate you, you know. I mean, yeah, you abused them and you abused all of us, but it's not a hate issue. It's the issue that, you know, they need to know if you love them or not, but they're already dead. So, you know, that wouldn't have helped, right? So what can you do? Tips for setting boundaries. Let's see, we've got about 4 minutes left. We'll pick up this one on the next show. I've actually scheduled the next one for next week, so I should be here same time, same place. There's tips for setting boundaries. Then there's examples of setting boundaries and personal boundaries, how to maintain them, and then affirmations of your basic rights, and then that's the end of it. So probably about 2 more shows. I keep saying that, but these are interesting topics. I think it's really important for survivors of abuse, you know, to sit and really think about this stuff. I mean, we could go on and on. You could literally spend a week or two just on the material that we were looking at in this half hour, you know. If you wanted to go delve deep into it, you know, I mean, a person could spend like 2-3 hours just looking at one of those statements. Right? So, you know, it's quite interesting material. So you go to their website and check it out, havoca.org, HAVOCA.org. So we got about 4 minutes left. We don't have much time to do anything else here. How am I doing on my healing journey? Not too bad. Mainly, I'm just trying to stay afloat financially. My main goal right now is just to be able to pay my rent. I'm really screwed. My hours just got cut in half at work. So everything was going good, and then now it's not. And so I'm like, well, this is my life. I'm used to it. That's fine. It'll be all right. I haven't had any time to work on my healing journey whatsoever. I'm just trying to stay afloat and not become too uptight about it, this whole thing. And I've been in a lot of physical pain, which is not dealing with, it stems from the abuse that I suffered as a child and also my car accident, which didn't help. So it's a combination of just pain and trying to get through the day, you know. But I've just been so blessed, you know, this last 2 months, really, by all of these really nice people that have come into my life. And they're just sweet and friendly. And, I mean, that just makes things better, you know. So I'm not completely down. And I'm actually feeling really pretty good. And I just need to keep going and keep working on getting better. And once I get a little bit more financially set to where I'll be able to pay my rent next month, I'm going to try to get a chiropractor appointment. And I don't want to go to the doctor because I think they're going to suggest amputation of my ankle or my lower leg, the lower part of my. So I've got some serious health issues going on, and I'm just kind of holding out, you know. I'm a Christian, so I'm waiting on God, you know. That's what I'm doing. And so it's a tough road. But for all of you survivors out here, if you're listening, you know, if you're at the edge of the pit and, you know, you're falling down in there and you don't know how you're going to make it, and you have no idea how you're going to even get through tonight, because I've been there. I've been there so many times, it's not even funny. You hang on and you get help. You reach out. Contact anybody at NASCA, NAASCA, National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. I volunteer with them as the Alberta ambassador. You call somebody. You call a crisis line. But you make a phone call and you get some help. You stay alive and you win this fight with me. Because every day that I wake up is a slap in my abuser's faces. Absolutely. And so I want you to wake up with me tomorrow. Have a great night, everybody. Take care of yourselves. Until next time. Bye-bye.